Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And welcome in. Happy Friday. Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. Great to be with you guys on a Friday. We got five bowl games today. Oklahoma Navy currently underway. We'll give you live updates on that one. We'll talk about some of the other bowls throughout the day. We'll get into plenty of the bowl games we got coming up tomorrow as well. Of course, talking about the college football playoff. Also, NFL Week 17. We've already had three games. The two on Christmas, Seahawks, Bears yesterday. We got three more tomorrow. And then a full slate on Sunday. We'll break down all those games as well. So anything you guys have, college football, NFL, let us know. We'll get to all of it throughout the show today. You can hit us up on twitch.tv/BetQL or YouTube/Odyssey Sports. And if you miss any part of the show over the next 30 minutes, you can catch it on YouTube or you can get the Send It In podcast available wherever you get your podcast. Let's get this show going, though. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Cole Thompson joins me. Give him a follow on X at Mr. Cole Thompson. Does a great job, host for SEC Unfiltered. Cole, obviously want to get your thoughts on the quarterfinals in the college football playoff, but let's get into some of these games that we have coming up later today. I'm really looking forward to this Vandy Georgia Tech game. Texas Tech and Arkansas should be interesting. Syracuse is favored by like a billion points over Wazoo that can barely field a team. So looking at the rest of the games that we have today, anything that you have your eye on, any games that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely the Liberty Bowl between Arkansas and Texas Tech. For some strange reason, Joey McGuire knows how to get a win over an SEC team in bowl season, regardless of who is the starting quarterback, regardless of who's out there on the offensive line, regardless of who's playing on the defense. And this is an Arkansas team that's lost a ton of talent to the transfer portal. Guys like Isaiah Setenga, guys like Luke Haas. They do have starting quarterback Taylen Greenback, which is very beneficial. Baron Morton is not playing for the Red Raiders today. But something about playing in Memphis, which is going to be a gloomy weather atmosphere in the Liberty Bowl, just screams that this is a game that the Red Raiders should win, carry a lot of momentum to finish 9-4 on the year. They're the number one team in the transfer portal. I like what Joey's doing down in Lubbock. I think that there's a lot of potential for this team to be in the conversation that Arizona State is next season. And I like the game out in the Las Vegas Bowl, Texas A&M versus USC. Initially, I thought this was going to be one of the better bowl matchups because of what you could see from the potential of this resurgent USC defense versus an offense that's been missing some elements from A&M. But my God, all the players opting out. You're not having Zachariah Branch, no Zion Branch, no Deuce Robinson. You're losing multiple defensive linemen. You've lost multiple running backs. And Jaden Maiva, for as good as a quarterback as he was last time that he played in Las Vegas at UNLV, I don't know if he's going to be able to get it done against this front seven headlined by a Mike Elko-led defense. Marcel Reed has an opportunity to really strike and bolster up his good graces in the offseason. Reuben Owens, if he does play in this game, the running back from El Campo, Texas, would have been a substantial difference maker for this offense. It's not going to affect his bowl eligibility. Suffered a torn knee at the start of the year. Didn't play this season. I like Texas A&M to win by the -4. I like them to win by double digits, actually.
Oh, yeah, that should be an interesting game. Obviously, Lincoln Riley, USC, disappointing season for them. All right, Cole, let's get to the quarterfinals of the college football playoff. We'll start with the lone game that we have on New Year's Eve, the Fiesta Bowl between Boise and Penn State. Penn State is the sixth seed, is favored by 10.5 over Boise. Obviously, the storylines will be Ashton Jeanty going up against that Penn State front seven. How do you see this game playing out, and do you think that Boise has a chance maybe to pull off the upset?
Yeah, I mean, if Maddox Maxson doesn't pull a Kevin Jennings 2.0 and give up 14 points to begin the game, yeah, naturally this does. Listen, Boise State has history playing in the Fiesta Bowl. Everyone knows about 2007 with Oklahoma. Everyone knows about the Statue of Liberty. Everyone knows about the pitch and ladder. It's an atmosphere that they're going to own. There's a lot of people that will travel on down to this game. And then Ashton Jeanty, he's so much more than just a running back. You look at the way that he plays in pass protection. He does a great job of setting up opportunities for his wide receivers to strike. I also think that you got to give a lot of credit to this defense that has really turned the corner this past year. They're top 15 in run defense. They're top 15 in third down conversions. So they're going to put a lot of pressure on Drew Aller to have to strike to the outside. If they can eliminate Tyler Warren, I think this could be a four-quarter battle. But you mentioned that defense. This is a defense headlined by Tom Allen that continuously is making strides and waves. They're top five in pass defense. They're top 10 in run defense. They're top three in third down conversions. I think if they can just slow down Ashton Jeanty and you put the pressure on Maddox Maxson to have to be the X factor in this game, it could get out of control pretty quickly. I like Penn State to win, but I'm not betting against Ashton Jeanty to make this a four-quarter battle. I'm going to take the Ponies with the plus 10.5. I think if this ends up being all the way down until the last 7 minutes, you'll watch as Tyler Warren kind of finds his way into the end zone, but you're not going to get double-digit win. It's going to be a touchdown, or I'd go 8 points is probably in favor of the Nittany Lions as they improve to the semifinals.
All right, very good. They'll get the winner of Georgia and Notre Dame. We'll talk about that game here coming up. But let's look at the Peach Bowl, Cole. We got another double-digit spread. Texas going up against Arizona State. Been an unbelievable year for Kenny Dillingham and company. I think in some polls they were picked to finish last in the Big 12. Here they are winning the conference, but they're facing a different beast when they go up against Texas. They haven't seen a defense anywhere near as good. Do you think the ASU magic continues, or do you think that Texas is just going to be too much?
It can if they can not allow Cam Scatabu to run rampant. I mean, that's going to be the big point for Texas, is can you take away number four? What I will say is that you got to give a lot of credit to Clemson's passing attack last week. Kate Klubnik looked awesome. 336 passing yards. TJ Moore lived up to expectations. Antonio Williams lived up to expectations. Boddington, the tight end, had a really good game. Even Bryant Wesco had a couple of big-time catches. But this is not the same type of aura. People want to look at Clemson and say, how were they able to make this an interesting battle despite being down 31-10 at one point? Well, the reason is because they have premier talent that they have developed from the transfer portal, I mean, from the recruiting class. This has been back-to-back top 15 recruiting classes. That won't be the same for Arizona State. But I do love Sam Lovett. I think Lovett's going to be a top five passer that this defense has faced all year. He's playing off of Adderall and sheer determination to pull off the upset. That's the mentality that he runs with. I think if you look back at that Big 12 championship, Iowa State was the number four pass defense coming into that game in Arlington. They had over 278 passing yards allowed, six explosive plays of 20 yards or more downfield. If you can find a way to connect with anyone outside of Tyson, who's not going to be playing in this game, I do believe that this will be at least a 3.5 quarter battle. You brought this up, PJ. It's a belly of a beast. It's a different animal down in the Lone Star State. I actually have the exact same score of what we saw in the first round for Texas, 38-24 final. I think that this is going to be a close call in the first half, but you'll watch as Quinn Ewers and this offense picks it up in the second. They pull away late to go to the semis.
Wow, okay, higher scoring game there. What about the Rose Bowl? Can't wait for this one. Cole, a lot of people feel like the winner of between Ohio State and Oregon might go on to win the whole thing. Are you in that same mindset? Do you think this is almost the de facto national championship? And who do you like to win out in Pasadena?
This is the de facto national championship. If I'm getting the version that showed up in the shoe last week of Ohio State, they're unbeatable. They look like the team that invested over $20 million in NIL, whether that be with Caleb Downs, whether that be with Quinshon Judkins, returning as much talent as possible because they're just built different. They're a finesse team. And the problem is that when you talk to Ryan Day, he wants to show off that physical brand of football, a no-nonsense mentality, the way that they played against Michigan, and it came back to bite them in the keister and ultimately lose and put them on the hot seat. But if you win with style the way that they do with the wide receivers, Emeka Ebuka, Jeremiah Smith, who's already wide receiver one in college football at 18 years old, the tight end play getting involved, swing passes to the outside of Travion Henderson and a Quinshon Judkins, and then you throw in Cardinal Tate as a fifth option, you are one of the best teams in the history of Ohio State football. But with that being said, I have to trust that you're going to make those type of calls. And I don't trust that with Ohio State. I don't. I think Ohio State on paper can be the best team in the sport. But I feel like that Ryan Day's incompetence of trying to be the bully instead of the finesser is going to come back and bite them in the fourth quarter. I got Oregon winning. I like Oregon when it comes to the points. I like Oregon because if they have an understanding and an identity, and they're not going to steer away from it. I can't trust that with Ohio State. I can think that they're going to run physical, and then eventually it comes back to hurt them in the fourth quarter, where I know what I'm going to get for four quarters when it comes to Oregon. Give me the Ducks to win in the Rose Bowl.
All right, very good. Cole, in about a minute, you from the jump at the start of the season, you had Oregon versus Georgia in your national championship. You still like Oregon over Ohio State. Do you still like Georgia over Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl?
I love Gunnar Stockton. I think that the fact that he's driving a 1987 Ford F-150 should be all the sights of he's got the aura to be QB1 in the biggest game of his career. What I really like is that this defense is going to be able to slow down Jeremiah Love. Love has been almost unstoppable this year. He's averaging over 8.5 yards a play. You watch what happened against Indiana, a 97-yard touchdown run to begin the outing. And basically, that was kind of the waving of the white flag for the Hoosiers. If they can slow down Jeremiah Love, as much as I do believe that this defense has been phenomenal for Marcus Freeman all year, I like the rushing attack of what you got in Trevor Etienne. I like what you can get in the tight end play with Oscar Delp. I think that this could be a very low-scoring game, but I do think that the fact this game is going to be in the southern region, yes, we know the history of Notre Dame versus Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. I do think that we will see history repeat itself like it did in 1981. Georgia gets a win. They move on to the semis, and I still hold true, Georgia versus Oregon for the national championship.
All right, you're holding strong with that. Looks like maybe we could be on a collision course. Can't wait for those games on Tuesday and Wednesday coming up next week. Cole Thompson joining us here on Send It In. Give him a follow on X at Mr. Cole Thompson. Does great stuff hosting over there at SEC Unfiltered. Cole, happy holidays, pal. Enjoy all the bowl games. We will talk again here soon.
Happy holidays. Who knew that Ben Arbuckle just needed to be on the sidelines to fix Oklahoma's offense? Bye, guys.
Exactly. 14-0. Oklahoma up on Navy with 4 minutes to go in the second quarter. All right, let's continue talking bowl games here as we get in to the PJ Pick 5. Five favorite bowl games coming up tomorrow on our Saturday slate. We got 8 bowl games, and my favorite of those 8 bowl games tomorrow is going to be Iowa State plus 3.5 against Miami. I would bet this now. I like getting that hook with Iowa State. I wouldn't be surprised if this game closed at 3 or maybe even 2.5. We kind of know the story with Miami all year. Great offense. Cam Ward, their quarterback, had a great season, but their defense really struggles. And I think Iowa State, their ability to run the football, possess the clock, I think it's going to be really difficult for Miami to stop. And I think Iowa State, it's just kind of one of those games they're going to grind out Miami. I think they force a couple turnovers. All season, Miami's offense has been under so much pressure because their defense doesn't get many stops. So Cam Ward in the offense consistently has to put up points. I think Iowa State keeps it close. I think there's a good chance they win the game. I like the Cyclones plus 3.5 against Miami. Also, I'm laying the big number with Army minus 17.5 against Louisiana Tech. I think Army's going to kill La Tech. So keep in mind, Army was originally supposed to play Marshall in their bowl game, but instead, they're getting Louisiana Tech. And Army's obviously coming off that heartbreaking loss to Navy in the Army-Navy game. And put yourself in Louisiana Tech's shoes, right? You don't, if you're a player, if you're a coach, you don't think that you're going to have a bowl game, right? You think your season's done. You're looking forward to the offseason, spending some time with friends and family. And then you get the call that, oh no, actually, you're going to play a bowl game. And not only do you have to play a bowl game, you have to go up against a military academy team who runs the wishbone and is going to be chopping at your leg for 3.5 hours. So already, Louisiana Tech was a team that I was going to look forward to fading because you don't know where their head's at. You don't know really how hard they're preparing for this bowl game. Then on top of that, you're getting a motivated Army team coming off a Navy loss that I just think is going to be too much for Louisiana Tech. So it's a big number. Give me Army minus 17 against Louisiana Tech. I also like Boston College plus 4 against Nebraska. BC had a great end of their season. They were 4-1 straight up. They were 5-0 against the spread. And Bill O'Brien did a really good job. Jeff Hafley kind of left that program in a little bit of a mess. Bill O'Brien did a great job in his first season there. And this is the story with Nebraska and Matt Rhule. When they're favorites, you just don't bet them because they play in one-score games and they usually lose them. Two good defensive teams, teams that want to run the football, two well-coached teams, and I think it's going to be a lower-scoring game. I'll take the +4 with BC. I'll also take the +4 with BYU against Colorado. I mean, everybody's going to be betting Colorado, right? It's Dion, it's Shador, it's the Heisman Trophy winner in Travis Hunter. But BYU was a team that really overexceeded expectations all season. They really never got the credit where it was due. Teddy Retzlaff played great quarterback for them. Their defense is pretty solid. And this just kind of feels like a game that's going to come down to the wire as well. The Alamo Bowl is always one of the better bowl games every single year. I think everybody will be looking to bet something tomorrow night. They're going to see Colorado at a short price, and they're just going to blind bet Colorado because they know about Dion, Shador, and Travis Hunter. But BYU, I think they cover. I think there's a chance they win that game as well. And finally, I think the dogs are going to be barking on tomorrow's slate. I'll take ECU +6.5 against North Carolina State. Really, this is just a fade of NC State's head coach, Dave Doran, who is one of my least favorite coaches in college football because his teams do have talent, but they're just never well coached. They always have dumb penalties and make dumb mistakes. They're a team that makes you want to rip your hair out. ECU's a program that fired their coach midway through the season, Mike Houston, but they continue to battle. They rallied and made a bowl. They have one of the better run defenses in the group of five. So I think ECU can keep this close. I think 6.5 is too many. Give me the Pirates to keep it tight. So those are our pick five in college football for tomorrow. Iowa State, Army lay the 17, BC, BYU, and East Carolina +6.5. As for the NFL, as we look at the PGA pick five in the National Football League, favorite bet of week 17 is going to be the Carolina Panthers +8 against the Tampa Bay Bucks. If you've been watching this show, folks, you know I love me some Carolina Panthers, especially when they are underdogs. Bryce Young has been playing awesome as of late, and I just think 8's way too many points. You know, Carolina, during this stretch where they've been playing really good football, I mean, they've played Kansas City, they've played Philadelphia, they've played a Dallas team that is playing really well. They played Arizona, who was fighting for their playoff lives, and they've hung tough. They've beaten some of these teams. They should have beaten some of these teams. Now we're getting 8 with them against Tampa. I just think there's too many points. I'd sprinkle some money line, too, with the Panthers. Give me Carolina +8. Next up, I love the under in Falcons and Commanders on Sunday Night Football. You have two rookie quarterbacks in Jaden Daniels and Michael Penix. You have one rookie quarterback in Michael Penix making his first career NFL road start. It's a primetime game, playoff implications, good atmosphere, two defensive head coaches in Dan Quinn and Raheem Morris. I think both teams are a little bit conservative early, especially Atlanta. The last thing Atlanta wants is for Michael Penix to get his confidence shattered. They don't want him going on the road and making a big mistake early and then being a shell of himself throughout the rest of the game. So I expect a lot of Bijan early. I think they try and lean on their defense. They want to make this a fourth quarter game, hang around, and then try to win it at the end. So I think both teams having defensive head coaches, both teams having young quarterbacks, and both teams playing in their biggest game of the season by far. Washington wins, they clinch a playoff berth. Atlanta wins, they're one step closer to winning the division. So massive game. I'll go under 47.5. Next up, give me the Chargers -4 against the Patriots. I like the Chargers in this spot. LA all season's been a team that when they're favored and they're playing a team that they're way better than, they normally win that game. Jim Harbaugh is such a great coach. They got a good defense when they go up against bad teams like this. I think a lot of people are going to like New England because of the way that New England competed against Buffalo, but these are the kind of spots where the Chargers roll all season. They've had one of the easier schedules, and when they go up against some of the lesser teams in the NFL, they usually roll in those games. I'll take the Chargers -4. I also like the Broncos +3.5 against the Bengals. So it feels like right now, kind of what's building momentum is this idea that the Bengals maybe have a chance to make the playoffs. If they win tomorrow, beat the Broncos, and then they win in week 18 and the Broncos lose to Kansas City, then the Bengals would be in the playoffs. Problem is the Bengals have not beaten anybody all year. They don't beat teams with winning records. Denver's coming off a bad loss to the Chargers. They get some extra rest playing on a Thursday. And matchup-wise, I think Denver matches up well with Cincinnati. Ja'Marr Chase might win the Triple Crown at receiver, and maybe the best corner currently in the NFL is Pat Surtain. So if there's anybody that can contain Ja'Marr Chase, it is Pat Surtain. Broncos have been great in pass coverage all season, and we know that Cincinnati defense can't cover anybody. And with Sean Payton's play calling and the efficiency of Bo Nix, I think Denver is going to have some success in that game. So if it's at 3, wait to see if you can get a 3.5 by kickoff, but I like Denver plus 3.5 against Cincinnati. And then finally, give me the Eagles minus 6.5 against the Cowboys. I think this is a too much of an overreaction to Kenny Pickett starting for Jalen Hurts. CeeDee Lamb's going to be out for Dallas, which is going to be a big deal. The reason the Cowboys have been so good here recently is because they've been able to run the football with Rico Dowdle. And I don't think that Dallas is going to be able to run the ball on Philadelphia. So Cooper Rush is going to have to make some plays. And against this secondary that just got shredded for 4 passing touchdowns and 35 points against Washington, I think Philly bounces back in a big way. Keep in mind, too, Saquon's trying to break the all-time rushing record in a single season. This is the perfect game to do it. Dallas does not have a good run defense. Jalen Hurts is out. Feed your best player in Saquon. I'll take the Eagles minus 6.5 against Dallas. All right, let's look at some of my favorite props for Week 17 in the NFL. Bo Nix, I'm going to take his longest pass completion over 35.5 yards against the Bengals. Bo Nix has gone over this number in 4 of his last 5 games. We know the Bengals have been giving up big plays all year on defense. I think Bo Nix is going to have like a 40-50-yard completion tomorrow, so I like Bo Nix's longest completion over 35.5 yards. I also, next up, like Josh Allen over 1.5 passing touchdowns at plus 105 against the Jets. Obviously, Lamar is starting to pick up some steam, and now there's some real chatter for who's going to win MVP between Josh Allen and Lamar. Well, the Bills and the whole world just watched Lamar put up a great performance against the Texans on Christmas Day. Josh did not have a good performance this past week against New England. So I think Buffalo, who's pretty much locked into the 2 seed at this point, all they really have to play for is to try and win their guy, Josh Allen, MVP. So going up against the Jets, obviously a team that also has nothing to play for. I think the Bills are going to try and run this score up. They're going to try and give Josh as many opportunities as he can to pad his stats. Plus 105 for Josh Allen to have 2 or more passing touchdowns. I will take that against the Jets. I also like Adam Thielen over 55.5 receiving yards on Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Since Thielen has come back from injury, he has played 5 games. In those 5 games, he's had 57, 99, 102, 51, and 43 receiving yards. His games where he had 99 and 102 receiving yards were against Philly and Kansas City, where Carolina was big underdogs in those games. Well, they're an 8-point underdog again on Sunday against Tampa Bay. So these kind of games where Carolina is probably going to lose, they're probably going to be trailing for a majority of the game, and Bryce Young's going to need to throw, that's usually correlated with Adam Thielen having some big games. I think he has another one against a not great Tampa Bay secondary. Adam Thielen over 55.5 receiving yards for the Panthers. Saquon Barkley, I was just talking about him. I'll take his longest rush over 19.5 yards for the Eagles. Barkley right now on BetMGM, his rush attempts prop is listed at 22.5. You would expect the Eagles to feed him 20 to 25 times. I'm thinking in one of those carries, Barkley's going to break one for at least 20 yards. That's what the Eagles do. They just kind of, they chip away, chip away, chip away, and then they break the big one with Saquon before not too long. So I like Saquon, longest rush, over 19.5 yards. And finally, Michael Penix, I'll lay the juice with him at minus 130 for him to throw an interception on Sunday night against Washington. Again, primetime game, playoff implications, first road start. Even though Penix is a very mature rookie, played a lot of college ball, had some time to sit and watch Kirk Cousins kind of adapt to the NFL a little bit. I mean, you're getting thrown out there. The Giants were a nice little tune-up, but now this is where the season begins. And for this to be his first true road start, trying to will his team to the playoffs and win the division, that's a lot to ask. I'll lay the juice minus 130 for Michael Penix to throw an interception. All right, let's go to model making money now. Check in with Matt Horner, get some of his best bets for the weekend. Matt, before we do that, what are some of the 5-star plays BetQL model has for us today?
Yeah, so we're going to go to the NBA here. The model likes the Rockets minus 1 against the Timberwolves. The model has Houston as a 5.5-point favorite, so clearly here getting just minus 1 for the Rockets at home against the Timberwolves. Model's going to have a 5-star play for that, the huge difference in projection there. So we're going to go with the Rockets minus 1 against the Timberwolves.
All right, very good. Matt, let's look at some of these bowl games that we got coming up the rest of the day. We got Oklahoma Navy today. We got four more to come here on this Friday. We got a bunch tomorrow as well. Any of these bowl games sticking out to you? Any lines that you like?
Yeah, well, I got to say, with these random bowl games, these games that don't really matter, it's so hard to bet these games because you just, there's so many opt-outs, there's so many transfers, coaching staff changes left and right. The lines are moving and fluctuating constantly. I mean, take this for example. I got Navy over a week ago at +7. They closed as a pick because yes. of all of Oklahoma's because of all of Oklahoma's transfers and opt-outs, and it's just that type of stuff is happening all the time in these games. So it's really difficult to bet into these games if you're not looking into what's going to happen, news, rumors, stuff like that. Navy right now is trailing by 7. I'm at 7, so that's kind of pushing for me. Later on, Vanderbilt, I bet them at +3, which is actually still available. One of the few lines that actually is. Vanderbilt as an underdog has just been a team I've been betting a lot this year. They're 7-2 covering the spread as an underdog. Plus, in this matchup, I really like Diego Pavia at quarterback. I think he's one of those guys that is just clutch in the situations he needs to be. And I trust him more than I do with Haynes King here. So give me Vanderbilt +3 in that matchup against Georgia Tech. Texas Tech and Arkansas, I honestly don't even know about this game. It keeps going back and forth over and over. Texas Tech was +3. I bet them then. Then you had Arkansas with all of their opt-outs and transfers, blah, blah, blah. And then you had Texas Tech losing their coordinators, and then it flips the other way, and now we're back. You know, Texas Tech is -2.5 in the market. Honestly, at this point, I wouldn't even bet the game. It's just there's so much uncertainty. I would just skip it, quite honestly. This is probably the biggest line movement advantage CLV I've probably ever gotten. Syracuse, I bet at -6.5 against Washington State. They are now 17.5 point favorites, which is just nuts to me. Yes, it's probably warranted because Washington State literally doesn't, it's like they don't have a team. They had 10 starters opt out, their head coach, their coordinators. They're a shell of a team. I'm surprised they're even playing this game because they're not even the same team. So again, wouldn't bet that. Then USC tonight, +4 is what I got them at. It's 3.5 in the market now. I still probably take that. I just think they have better quarterback play here. And I'm taking a shot with USC. Don't really know why, but I have to have some action on all these games. So give me the Trojans at +4 over Texas A&M.
Matt, I'm seeing the Cuse right now up to 19.5 on BetMGM. So, I mean, the CLV just continues for you. Getting that at 6.5, that's a heck of a bet right there, nearly getting two touchdowns.
Yeah.
What about in the NFL, Matt? We got three games tomorrow. We got a ton on Sunday. What are some of your favorite bets in NFL?
Yeah, so honestly, on the Saturday slate, the three games tomorrow, I have pretty much nothing. I put a small wager on Denver at +3.5 against the Bengals because, like you were just talking about, the Bengals have a hard time beating teams with a winning record. They have one of the only corners that can actually defend Ja'Marr Chase in that explosive offense. So I like the Broncos at 3.5 a little bit. But not for much. I put a half unit on that. I don't really have much in the other two games on Saturday. I have not bet anything else. Going to the Sunday slate, though, I have a couple bets in here. I took Dallas at +8. It's +7 now in the market generally against Philadelphia. This game is supposed to have some really bad weather. The total is down to 38.5 now, and it's kept coming down. I think the opening was 45, and it's down to 38.5 now. So we've seen some extreme downward movement there. Anytime you get a divisional game like this where there's weather implications, I'm going to take the points if it's a ton of points like this with Dallas. I do think it's kind of overrated with the backup quarterback angle with Kenny Pickett and stuff. But at the same time, this many points, I'm just going to take it with Dallas here at +8. Carolina, I took it +8. I think they could win the game outright. I still don't trust the Buccaneers. I'm sorry. I think Carolina should have beaten them last time. They lost narrowly to the Buccaneers in Carolina. I just love the way they're playing lately. The Panthers have covered 4 of their last 5 games. Bryce Young actually looks like a competent quarterback, and you're giving me this many points. I'm going to take it here. I know people love Baker Mayfield and the Bucs, but I'm taking the points with the Panthers. And then I took the New York Giants at +8 because maybe I'm an idiot. Maybe that's the only reason why, but there's absolutely no way I'm laying 7.5, 8 points with the Indianapolis Colts on the road. Just, I can't do it with Anthony Richardson. I'm sorry. I know the Giants are tanking. I know they're horrendous, but maybe they can keep this one within a touchdown against a team that I just think is terrible and is even worse than their record says they are. I think they've been lucky in a lot of these games just to get some of these wins. So give me the Giants at +8. And then Monday night, I'll just say right now.
Matt, we got to run, actually. We got 30 seconds, so I'll wrap you up there. A lot of great stuff. Matt Horner joining us here on Sending It. Matt, good luck this weekend. For those people want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1 to 5 star scale based on its unbeatable analysis, over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, we'll go rapid fire here. PJ's plays, give out some of my favorite bets of the day. Marcel Reed, quarterback for Texas A&M, under 199.5 passing yards against USC. I think he tries to use his legs a lot. I'll go USC as my dog of the day, +3.5 against A&M. I think they could win that game outright. I thought A&M's overrated this season. And then finally, lay the big number with Syracuse. I think they win by a ton. There's a reason that number's that big. And then under in Georgia Tech and Vandy, two very similar teams that want to control the time of possession, run the ball, and play good defense. Thanks to Cole Thompson and Matt Horner for joining us on the show today. Have a great week. Again, you guys, we'll see you on Monday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.